This episode of Auto Dealer Live is brought to you by Flick Fusion.
Hey, hey, we open up to thunder. I don't know if you heard that, but hey, it's been clear and hot. Oh my gosh, it's been so hot the last couple weeks here in Tampa, like in the 90s today. 92, they said it was like 101 feeling. But we've been hit locally here with a thunderstorm, probably last about 20 minutes and move on. But I mean, it just hit as we opened up. So you might see that outside our windows as we switch camera angles. But hey, welcome to Auto Dealer Live. Man, do we have a show today? And I'm sitting here with Mr. Joe Calla.
Hey, hey.
Vice President of Sales and Operations for Auto Dealer University.
Yes, sir.
And then, Lou, if you can switch the camera, we've got Chris Fritcher, the actual originator.
What's
the originator
up?
Of Auto Dealer Live, the concept. Started it all.
That's right.
That's right. It's that time. And we've got Billy Honecker,
top salesperson
here. You know, so many of you dealers have probably spoken to Billy at one point or another.
Hung up on him,
told him to get lost.
A lot of times.
Told him to get lost. but some of you gave him a shot, and he provides amazing value. So, hey, welcome to the show. We're going to be talking all about the auto business. We've got a huge lineup today. We've got Mr. Jake Davis, Internet Relations Manager at North Georgia Toyota. We've got CEO and founder of Overtake Digital, Mr. Chris Hill. We've got Subaru Steve Montgomery. Been a while, but he's no stranger to the show. Certified Subaru Account Manager at RK Subaru. And we've got Anthony Vonner, Subaru Brand Specialist. Got double Subaru going on today.
Oh, yeah.
Brand Specialist at RK Subaru. So, and I got, I'm sorry, Lou. And we got Christopher Campbell, President of Crestwood Auto Brokers. What's that, Lou?
Anthony and Steve,
Subaru
Steve, have
their
own little podcast. So we're like,
oh, very cool.
Yeah.
So can the audience hear you saying that? Do you have your mic on?
No.
Okay, I don't think they could hear you, Lou.
Go ahead.
Go ahead and make it hot.
They can hear me now.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Say it again.
There you go.
We hear you.
All right.
I think they heard me the first time, but I'll say it again.
We can't. Don't get all defensive.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you in my ears, Lou, so I didn't know the audience could
hear you. Lou's all getting all defensive. What's up? You want some of this? You want some of this?
I know, right?
My mic's turned down? You want some of this?
I love it.
So, you know, here's the thing. You know, we're going to get into some things today. We're going to talk a little bit about efficiency as dealers and some things that we can dive a little deeper into. So don't turn your dial at all. As a matter of fact, share the show. We're going to give away a few things today. We've got some swag up our sleeves. No pun intended. Mm-hmm. But we've got some socks, right?
Socks.
We got some special
socks.
Serial Sales Pro socks.
Very nice.
Socks are always awesome. You know, when we go to like Digital Dealer and these big conferences, and you know how you make your way around, you get all the
swag,
right?
Dude, that's one of my favorite things to snatch.
Yeah, me too.
Socks.
Look, I love the socks.
Vendors, if you want traffic, go
socks.
To socks.
Get socks.
The crazier looking, the more everybody wants them.
That's true.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, in this business, typically we're all wearing like dress shoes all the time. So, you know, those socks come in handy. So
they do.
So here's the thing. Make sure that you like and share the show. We're going to put your name in the hat. We're going to draw a little bit later in the show and give some stuff away. It's going to be exciting.
Right.
It's going to be exciting. So what do you think, Mr. Chris? How are you feeling, man?
I feel fantastic. You know, should I get into what I really wanted
do
to
it,
bring
man.
Up?
Get in
well,
it.
Sure, man.
Get into
okay.
it.
Let's go.
Something that's been on my mind is how are the dealers – out there going to react to if these tariffs kick in. And I'm not talking about we're not a political show, so we're not talking about that.
Sure.
But I'm talking about that there is a possible real direct impact on new car franchises, especially. Well, actually across the whole gamut. Mm-hmm. Because they're talking about new car prices going anywhere from $2,000 to $8,000.
Now they're talking about and are these specifically just foreign brands?
Well, no, because you're talking about parts, because lots of times, even with American-made, you know, the parts come from overseas. So there, I mean,
plus,
there's a lot of dynamics.
We have factories overseas,
exactly.
Right? Exactly. Importing of domestic cars.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of dynamics to this. And my thought is, when do dealers, if they haven't already, start thinking, I need to up my game with used cars and go out and start snagging used cars? Because I immediately started thinking, oh, my God, used car prices go through the roof. Because if there's that much of a, you know, rise in new car prices, then immediately the consumer is going to be like, well, if I don't want to spend this much money, I need to go to a used car. So now all of a sudden everybody's going to need used car inventory, and the demand's going to get up there. So I'm just thinking, when do you start stocking up on used car inventory?
Yeah, and, you know, we always see someone make moves in that area when things like this happen. It's just like the cash for clunkers. You know, it took a little bit for dealers to get kind of acclimated to that. But you'll always see someone that goes in and figures it out, right, and takes advantage of it.
That's true.
Yeah, and we can really you could kind of apply that to almost anything. But this is maybe a thing to watch is this situation with the tariffs. And
sure.
Let's go back to Billy. Billy.
What's up?
Hey, man.
I got like, lost in a daze.
He's like, who, me?
Look, I just want to acknowledge you, brother. First of all, you're kicking butt in sales. And even though you're selling to dealers and not necessarily selling cars like a lot of our audience are also obviously vendors or partners with dealers that are serving dealers and selling to dealers on a regular basis. So
yeah.
Give us a little bit of, you know, you've had great success. It's been a while. How long have you been doing it?
I've been here at IPD now for right at two years, two months. Yeah.
A lot of growth, right? Would you say that there was some growth in 2 years and 2 months in this company?
Yeah, financially and physically.
How about crazy growth? Would you describe it as that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And honestly, just the I don't know if you knew Chris, but I knew Joe and Chris knew, but I used to sell cars at Brandon Ford here in Tampa.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And I mean, the hustle never changes, but just the amount of time that you have to do it here, the opportunity that Dave provides is working in that 40-hour work week, but still getting the opportunity to hit that income that you desire and just and helping people. That's what it's really about, and the money is just a byproduct of it. But getting to hear people's stories every single month and how you help them move the needle, how you help them hit their stair step plan and hit their goal. It's just really rewarding.
Yeah. How huge? What? Just describe for 1 second the difference maybe between, you know, selling cars, you know, maybe hitting a goal that you had in selling cars. And it's really more of an individual sort of thing versus maybe helping an entire dealership move the needle. What is the difference there?
Honestly, I mean, maybe it's kind of prideful. I don't know.
Don't you feel little bit more significant?
Yeah,
in some ways?
Feel like you feel like you came in and you interrupted somebody's process and changed something for the better. And you got to not only did you do something for yourself, because when you sold cars, it was for the individual that you sold a car to,
sure,
and it was for yourself. But you know that not only did I help myself, and not only did I help a general manager, but I also help 30 sales staff that are tied to that guy, help them hit their goals and where they can have financial freedom in their own homes as well. And to where it's kind of like a chain reaction where everybody wins, especially here at IPD.
Yeah. You know what? Just listening to you, Billy, I mean, our audience can see, you know, the type of character, you know, you really get a sense for your genuineness in describing that. And that kind of is a huge indicator of why you're here too.
Appreciate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, hey, let's talk about helping dealers a little bit. You know, we're going to get our all-star panel here up in a moment. But before we do, I want to talk about, you know, today we're talking about efficiency, digging a little deeper in each area. One of those areas is in our service departments. I mean, you know, when I think about the whole service side, I think of it as the money spot in the dealership. I really do. Just because I call it the profit center, actually. That's kind of just my own little thing. But there's so much opportunity there, not just internally within the service department itself, but also in sales. And now we're seeing dealers that are implementing sales systems inside the service departments that are amazing. But I got a question for you guys. Mm. What do you think the average service department now spends on video on their service drives a month? $3,000 a month average per rooftop, right? What about MPI? MPI, $1,500 a month per rooftop.
Mm.
Tablets, $1,500 a month per rooftop.
Mm.
And what about online reservation systems? $1,000 a month. Now I'm doing
Stop
some.
It.
I'm telling you
no
right
way.
Now, that's average, right? That's a total.
Crazy.
Listen to this. Total of $7,000 a month. That's $84,000 a year annually. That's big money.
Yeah. Especially if it's not getting the job done the way it's supposed to.
I mean,
and those are all expenses. That's not anything that can increase your income. So.
Yeah, those are expensive. Well, you know, well, there is a matter of fact. I'll tell you what is substantially less. If you don't want to have that type of output, but you want the return, what's substantially less, you could get an immediate increase of 0.5 to an hour, get perfect survey scores, 85% customer retention, and have an effective labor rate that'll put you within 92 to 95% of your door rate.
How?
Thank you for asking, Joe.
Oh, you're welcome.
No, look, seriously, I mean, you know, dealers especially that are paying attention to their service department, if you just listen to some of those averages and some of the things and you look at your own spend, okay, take a look right now at Jeff Cowan's Pro Talk. We're putting a link on the screen. Mm-hmm. Take a look at that. We just went through the numbers. It would be crazy. We went through some things last week and talked about return on investment that is unbelievable. Mm. Jeff Cowan is the secret to service. Make sure you check him out at Pro Talk.
Good.
So let's do this. Let's get into our show, but we're going to go to a commercial break real quick, right? Yeah. Right, Lou? Mm-hmm. Hey, real quick before we do, what are we giving away? We're giving away socks, shirts, hats, swag. Make sure that you share and like and share the show. Get your name in the hat. We'll be right back in just a moment. You're watching Auto Dealer Live.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Be done after you form some type of relationship. One call closes are few and far between. Look, they're going to happen. And if you're on your A game and you're swinging enough, you're going to hit a home run. But if the baseball players that have been great.
Because at the desk, I always ask questions. Do they drive the car? Are all the decision makers present? These people have time to do business? Are they putting you under time pressure?
When they do them because they want to and not just because they have to, now you're on the way to a healthy culture and environment within your workplace.
Approximately 70% of all automotive shoppers are more likely to purchase after viewing a dealership video. And though many dealerships are utilizing effective video strategies to drive shoppers to their website, very few automotive websites provide the exact video content that today's shopper desires the most. Flick Fusion makes it easy for you to start and scale an affordable video marketing strategy, including end-to-end video content and distribution automation that provides your automotive shoppers with unique and engaging video content that is proven to increase all of your lower funnel KPIs. And the best part is that all of your video content is hosted on Flick Fusion's award-winning SmartFlix video marketing platform to combine each individual shopper's unique shopping behavior across multiple touchpoints with CRM, DMS, and other sales and marketing data triggers to enhance each unique shopper's experience and provide the most informational and relevant video presentation possible for each shopper. It's intelligent video for intelligent dealerships.
Hey, welcome back to Auto Dealer Live. We've got our all-star panel coming up. Jake Davis, Chris Hill, Subaru, Steve Montgomery, Christopher Campbell, and Anthony Vonner. And today we're talking to dealers about digging deeper, doing some, focusing on efficiency. You know,
yes.
We've had a world of topics on this show over the years, right? Mm. But digging deeper into these things that just maybe make us more efficient, maybe we need to go a little bit deeper. So what do you think, Joe?
Well, I mean, I was in stores, you know, just this past week. And, you know, some of the things that I always look at, especially when I'm in a store, is how can I help the store? How can I help whatever position that I'm working with be more efficient in what they're doing?
And that really is what consulting really leads to, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's try to figure out how to remove obstacles.
Right.
And if I can do that in a good way, that'll help them free up to get more done faster, go further, and then, you know, sell more cars and do what they're going to work to do better and not feel like frustrated. So what I'm thinking is, you know, when I start thinking of like efficiency, I look into CRM, because especially in the BDCs and on the floors, you know, how do you go ahead and become more efficient in CRMs? And I know what I, you know, look at and what I can do, but I want to go ahead and just throw this out there and start this off with Subaru Steve. If you can go ahead and and address that to start us off here, man.
Well, I got to first correct some names here. It's not Subaru Steve Montgomery or Anthony Bonner. It's the tag team of Subaru Steve and Anthony V.
All right.
Subaru Steve team. And Anthony
okay,
V.
So
love it.
Got that out of the way.
Thank you.
As far as CRMs go, I mean, you only get out what you put in.
That's right.
So having a supportive culture where the agents, sales agents, are being rewarded, not just in sales, but just a kind of an attaboy every time a good member is seen in the CRM, I think that goes a long way.
Right. That's true.
Yeah, and you know, I want to go. I'll go to Anthony since we just started with Steve. But Anthony, you know, here's what I would say to that as well. As I was just listening to Joe, and I am a huge believer in the CRM, and I think that is the key. It's like, what's the first step when you are maybe encouraging someone to dig deeper in the CRM or to really understand its value or to become more efficient? I think the first step is actually having that person who's using the CRM actually sold on it. And I mean, I don't know what it takes to get that. I don't know if it's seeing the results. I don't know seeing the results from someone else, but, or just digging in until it happens. But maybe talk about that for a moment, Anthony, because I think that just to tell someone to get more efficient or dive deeper into the CRM doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to take them to the place they need to be. What would you offer as advice?
As advice, I would definitely say that if you have certain people in the business that are actually in the car industry that are actually doing well, I feel like they should share what they're doing. You know, because if you're being successful or you're having successful results, just give the advice back to people.
Right.
It's all about helping. It's a collective effort. The better you can do, the better we all can do, the better the dealership could do.
Right. You know, I think it's also important to understand that there's multiple eyes looking in there too. And that, and that's one of the things that I always focus on when I speak to, you know, people in the stores is if they're putting information inside the CRM, you know, they may be using like, you know, initials for certain words and different, you know, shorthand writing, so to speak, in the CRM that they only understand what it means.
Right.
So if somebody goes and tries to read and follow in behind them as a manager or whatnot to help them move that deal forward, there needs to be just a clear line of communication and making sure that everybody's on the same page of how it's being used.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And Billy, you use CRM all the time.
Yeah.
You use it here. You used it when you were selling cars. Now you use it with dealership clients. I mean, let's talk about what, you know, Joe just talked about, the notes and different things. Do you even pay attention to notes if it's been a little while? I think sometimes notes in a CRM can keep you from making the next call.
Yeah, it's easy not to. One thing that we learned, like, here at IPD is not to take the notes serious sometimes, because sometimes you have people who, one of the sales reps, they might have got hung up on, in our profession, they might have got hung up on, or maybe at your dealership you had somebody who, maybe they walked on the lot and it was their fifth time there this month and they get the label tire kicker, and people see that lead come in, they see that they're a tire kicker five times this month already. Most of your guys are going to try to broom that person out. But I think really one of the ways, this is what I was thinking about, is that one of the ways to get your sales team bought into it, if they're not already sold into your CRM, is allow somebody to sell the deal that they were working because they didn't put notes in. That's one of the, I mean, it sucks, but that's one of the fastest ways to learn, hey, I better put my notes in this stinking CRM, because if I don't, somebody else is going to take my money.
You mean like big boy lessons?
I mean like big boy lessons, all like, right. Like
girl,
lean over the
girl.
Knee, spank you. Yeah, big girl, whatever.
Right, right.
But I mean, it's trial and error. If you don't write your notes in a CRM, somebody's going to sell your customer. And that's the fastest way to learn. And I think the byproduct of that is that you'll start to see the results of actually using your CRM correctly. I know that's something that Joe, that he believes in is a CRM, and it's easy for salespeople because we're so gung-ho on trying to get the deal, of trying to get these people in and out, and we don't want to take the time to do the details. But a lot of times, if you don't write details down of what you talked about last time when they came inside the dealership with their wife or without their wife, you might not know some key selling points in their next go-around.
Yep.
Yeah, that's, you know, true.
Hey, may I?
Yes, absolutely. Who is it that's speaking?
Yeah, Subaru Steve. You know, with the CRM, once the salesperson realizes that that's a tool that will really benefit them,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they see it as something that's going to help them make an income for themselves and their family and the dealership, then they buy into it. Until they bought into it, then they don't see a reason to really be honest and forthcoming with all their notes.
Yeah, that
and
is.
And I think that's the real crux.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was talking about when we talked about being sold on the CRM ahead of time. And I'm going to share with you just something real quick. This really convicted me personally years ago in the CRM, and it was actually an episode that we used on Auto Dealer Live. But the late Tammy LeBlue, who's no longer unfortunately with us, was a dear friend. She was number two salesperson in the entire country with Nissan. And I sat down with her and I said, tell us the secret, girl. Tell us, how have you accomplished this? And the first thing and the most convicted thing she said right at the beginning, she gave full credit to her CRM. She said, Dave, I made a decision to marry my CRM. And that took her to number two in the entire country with Nissan. Let's go to Jake Davis and get your input on the CRM. And how valuable, maybe there's a tip you can share, Jake, about either getting bought in or about an effective way to use it to become a little bit more efficient and sell more cars.
Thank you first and foremost so much for having me. This is a great discussion because I do think that utilizing the CRM is absolutely key and crucial in providing a good customer experience and ultimately, you know, establishing dominance in terms of in your market area, depending on what brand you are. But what we've kind of really done is we've changed our process of appointments. Before, we used to have for our BDC, we'd set the appointment, and they'd come in and ask for the specific person. So now we're having them ask for the sales manager, and that's making us a little bit more efficient in our appointment process in terms of not having to take the time to, you know, if somebody comes in and asks for you, you're getting off the phones and having to go, you know, take that step versus asking for the sales manager. And in doing that, I mean, it is very important, just like y'all were saying, to, you know, read the notes, make sure that the sales manager knows, you know, what's going on, and so that he can come out, greet the customer, go over a few key points, say, hey, I know you talked to this BDC rep. You know, we're really trying to master the handoff. And so having those notes is crucial in that process for sure. And just having that sales manager relationship, you know, meeting daily and going over what happened with certain customers. That way everybody's on the same page ultimately.
That's right. You know, and just to kind of shift gears and go into another direction, I want to bring Chris Hill into this conversation too. Chris, what are some ways that even if it's not CRM, but, you know, like to weigh in on how you can help a dealer become more efficient in what they do on a daily basis? Can you weigh in on this?
Yeah, you know, there's actually two things I wanted to address. I don't mean to pull back, but when right before you guys went to break, you brought up the average spend for a service manager for video, right? And I was amazed when I heard $3,000 because we represent clients all over the country. I wish that we saw more of that spend because obviously investment in a profit center like FixOps is so hugely important for dealers. But I believe that video, it works just the way that you guys are building ADL. Your investment in content over a long period of time pays off the organic dominance in that market. You could spend a ton of money right now and promote ADL all over the country and have tons more viewers for this one show. But that video, if done correctly and utilized by the dealership correctly, is going to grow their overall audience. Just like you guys have been over the last 7 years. Okay, so you guys are where you are because you made that investment early and continue to push that envelope and grow that dominance in your market. So I just wanted to touch on that. I didn't mean to get off, but as far as the CRM goes, we sit with dealers all the time, okay? And when we sit with these dealers, we know we're producing good results in the digital marketing. And I'm not trying to pitch, but when we're producing those results and we know that they're turning into leads, and a dealer is saying there's something wrong, we see the more leads, but we're not selling more cars, it comes back to one of three things. And guess where all that information can be found? In the CRM. Mm. If the leads are being produced, okay, we know for a fact because the leads coming in, the lead source report into your CRM. Mm. So for one, you have a good source of where your leads are coming from. Then you have a BDC or internet sales process that follows up those leads and gets them into the store. All right. That's process two. Now, once they're into the store and you have you're logging them up, you take them through the road to the sale, now we're going to see if you're closing on the floor. So we found the issue very easily, and all that information is found right in the CRM. Yeah. Are you getting the leads? Are you getting the opportunities with those leads? Are you closing them to appointments, and are you bringing them into shows?
right? And if you are and you guys are closing on the floor, you have a winning concept right there.
That's great.
I feel after 12 years of automotive retail that I could have – if you can run a CRM well, I feel like you could be an absolute dominant general manager or dealer principal, because that is the heart and blood of your entire – well, at least your entire front end. I mean, the fixed ops is a whole other ballgame, but the entire front end is completely CRM-based.
I love it, man. That's great. And, you know, when you were saying that, it just goes back to accountability and measurability. It keeps people accountable, and it allows you to measure. And I think that that's the key right there, because, you know, management without measurement is pretty much meaningless. And I think that that's the key. And I think, Chris, that was great point. Chris Campbell, do you want to weigh in on this?
Absolutely. Thanks, guys, for having me on today.
You're welcome.
Well, I would say, with respect to digging deeper into becoming more efficient, and on the topic of CRM, there's a lot that you can utilize your CRM for with respect to cultivating accountability, really. I mean, CRM exists basically to provide us with metrics, as well as being a sales tool. You know, personally, I would institute a policy of no negativity with respect to comments in the CRM. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've looked into
good
salesperson follow up and seen negative comments, tire kicker, stroke, or whatever. You know,
it
I think that hinders your follow up later on, be it through the BDC department or if that sales rep is making that follow up call and looking at those notes. I mean, what reason would you have to call someone if you saw that they were a tire kicker, you know?
Yeah.
So if you do away with the negativity and you try to create reasons for customers to buy rather than buying into the notion that they're not buying, I think it makes the follow-up more productive. Secondly, with respect to following up on unsold traffic, Jake touched off on creating the customer experience by having – that customer, let's say a fresh lead coming in, asking for a sales manager rather than handing off to a sales rep, you could do the same thing with unsold traffic. When you've got BDC following up, make the appointment for your lead sales manager or your GSM. That forces the people on the desk to take another look at the deal, see if something can be put back together again, put them back in touch with the salesperson, go over the vehicle again, go on another test drive, have a chance to sharpen up those numbers and put a deal together. I think it does create a better customer service experience for the, you know, for the client coming in to buy a vehicle, and makes them want to create more of a relationship rather than just that one sale.
Yeah.
You know, one of the issues I think that goes along with this is understanding where people are in the sales process. You know, I think lots of times we get leads into the CRM, but we're not really doing a very good job of putting where these people are in the sales process, because there's different stages of the sales process.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when we're communicating to them ineffectively, because we're not understanding where exactly they are, and we're just going, well, this is a tire kicker.
Right.
When really they're not a tire kicker.
Exactly.
They're just not ready to pull the trigger yet.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I think that's a big issue that we need to do a better job training.
I think you're spot on. And I think this puts focus back on what we're talking about, how valuable the CRM is. And then when you go there and you do that, Chris, and you're putting them, and you're figuring out the process, you're revisiting that. Now you're putting value back into leads that already not only exist, but are hot leads. They're communicating with you and your store. And I also love the dialogue of this. I love what Chris Campbell brought up about having a no negativity policy.
Oh yeah.
Haven't we been the last decade trying to clean up the car business?
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of it, right? So
and you know, a lot of that is not just on the salesperson. A lot of that's on the sales manager, because they allow it to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's really where you got to fix that.
Yeah. And the other point that I love, that again, Chris referenced, that Jake brought it up, but you know, setting the appointment with the manager and then even re-looking at old revisiting deals when you're looking at your CRM to see if you can put something back together. To me, what that does also, now you've got managers not only more engaged, but you have them on top of this traffic as well, so that they know more about what's happening in the store.
Right. And you know, you were talking about having them in the right position in the system. So, for example, there's some CRMs are set up for unqualified leads where they came through as a lead, and it campaigns now with there's no contact been made to this customer. if contact is made to that customer and that is not switched to now a contacted campaign or the contacted status, then it's going to keep running the status of unqualified. And with that, it ties automation with emails and things like that and communication that's going out as if we never talked. So what happens is if you're not making sure that your people are moving the people in the right direction, if, in other words, I spoke to a customer today and then I have notes in there, talk to customer and maybe thinking about coming in, but never switched it from unqualified to contacted, tomorrow an email is going to automate and say, hey, we've been trying to get in touch with you.
You know, and you that's a big problem with ad spend too.
Yeah.
Because that's just money wasted down the drain. Because
exactly.
You're hitting the people with a branding message or like right. You have never talked to them.
Right.
When really they're much further down the sales cycle.
Exactly. And it's one of the first things that Joe looks at when he goes into a store and looks at what's happening in an internet department or BDC. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to Chris Hill real quick, because Chris – you brought up a couple of things earlier.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're going to kind of latch on to what Joe just mentioned, but also, you know, what I heard from you earlier when you mentioned the three things, and I'd like for you to share them again, but the three things that the CRM are going to tell you or that you're going to be looking for, because what I think is that dealers really need to pay attention to this, because as managers, we need to be looking at these three things and evaluating, are we maximizing our opportunities here? Go ahead, Chris Hill.
Yeah, to answer to that last point about the problems with the CRMs and what Joe was saying, and I believe it was Joe that was saying where the user is in the buying experience, let's not forget that these CRMs were built in 2008, 2009, 2010. They're not actively evolving where digital marketing is actively evolving. So the problem here is you have people on Facebook. I mean, Joe, I would tell you that me and Joe Collins, 90% of our communication exists on Facebook.
Right.
Is that communication making it to your CRM? All right, not that I'm buying something from you, but this is where your users are.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you know, as a 36-year-old male, I'm in a huge demographic for car buyers. All right, that's the medium I'm comfortable with using, including text, including whatever it may be, Instagram DMs. I mean, this is where these contact is taking place, and almost none of these CRMs are answering that. We're still utilizing emails and phone numbers, and some of them are actually evolving into being able to use text messages.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't just put the blame on the dealer here. These CRM companies need to step up their game, because there is quite a bit of evolution in the market of where these contacts are coming in and how these things are being wasted. All right. And that kind of leads me to the point that you asked me to make. When a dealer is looking for the issue, all right, and a lot of these GMs, you know, when they're coming up through, or these dealer principals were salespeople, became managers, and then became GMs of dealerships, they haven't lived and breathed the advertising side. They haven't lived and breathed the CRM side. All right. So what they're looking for is indicators in their business or places of improvement. All right. So when I made these three potential points, all right, there's three ways that you can find where business is falling off. All right. Your marketing, all your marketing, especially digital, is being fed through an API or a lead process into your CRM. There it can be measured. TrueCar gave me X amount of leads. CarGuru gave me X amount of leads. Overtake gave me X amount of leads. These leads turned into X amount of appointments, turned into X amount of shows, and X amount of sales. So right there, you know if your leads are working or if they're not, all right, based upon what's coming in and the closing percentage. Next, if the leads are coming in and you are not getting that business, all right, or those sales, all right, it's either going to be on your floor or on your internet sales process. And that internet sales process needs to be inspected. All right, you need to inspect what you expect out of your BDC.
Yeah.
All right, so when Barry Wise, aka Brad Wise, told me that, all right, he was a GM of mine long ago. All right, when you're looking at these BDCs and when you're looking at these follow-up processes, you have to make sure that they're being followed up longer than 5 days. I can't even tell you how many dealers I've been in where they're falling off after a week, they're falling off after 3 days, they're falling off after 10 days. An average internet buyer is, what, typically 45 to 60 days out. I don't know if I buy that, but let's say 2 weeks, right? I had a dealer just recently, they did a huge push in video for Spanish-based pre-roll, right? we came back the next month and we were expecting huge results. And they said, you know what? We didn't do anything with it. We're really unhappy with it. And we're like, well, we got all these leads. We tracked them. We know where the attribution was coming from. We went to their CRM. They didn't have a Spanish-speaking BDC person, and they were marking them all bad. I know that sounds crazy, but these little type of things happen all the time, the lack of follow-up from after 3 days, or someone Spanish-speaking doesn't speak Spanish in the BDC. And then finally, if your BDC or internet department is bringing them to appointment, all right, and they make it to the floor, your closing percentages of ups to close, your manager ups, your showroom visits to close will show you where the problem is. If you're getting the appointments and not getting the sales once they're in, there you know where the problem is. If you're not getting those appointments because you're not getting enough leads, bam, right there in the CRM, all that information exists for you. You just have to go inspect it.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Go ahead, Chris Fritcher.
I was just going to say, I'd like to get Steve and Anthony back in on this because, you know, they're actually in a store now working –
They are, but can we shift gears for one moment? Only because we're running out of time. I feel like we've gotten some amazing points taken. Yeah. But we were talking about efficiency, different ways for efficiency, and I wanted to share one that I think that we can all do instantly, and I think that we lose consciousness of it because, as the great Jackie B. Cooper once said, we're selling to a passing parade.
Yeah.
Meaning that we're there every day, right? And we may kind of unfortunately, you know, settle into some things sometimes. So the one thing I wanted to bring up that we can all control that's extremely visible to a customer and we never, ever talk about is body language. I was in a dealership the other day getting service and I was watching the service area is right in the showroom. The waiting room is right in the showroom. So I'm watching the salespeople and the management and the desk. I'm watching all the interaction. They have no idea who I am, not that I'm somebody, but they didn't know I was in the car business. So I'm watching, and what I'm seeing is, you know, offers being made, right, by clients, getting the sign off, going to the desk, and the salespeople, like, just kind of lackadaisical, you know, shoulders dropped, walking to the desk, and then you see the desk managers, you know, without fire, without, and I'm thinking, do they understand that the customer is actually watching them? So I want to talk about that for a moment.
I tell you, there's an even bigger issue in the service to drive the service riders are worse.
Well, yeah. we'll leave them alone for a moment.
But, I mean, this is a whole entire show here.
Well, just so you know, if I were in the service drive, I'd probably have bad body language because they deal with a lot of stuff. I don't think I could. But anyway, let's go to Jake Davis and talk about how important that is.
Yes, sir. Yeah, sorry. I didn't realize I was next. Can you repeat what you were just stating?
That's all right. I know Chris, we'll come right back to you, Jake. I know Chris Fritcher wanted to weigh in on that real quick and we'll go to Jake.
I was just going
to
say, I mean, I can understand if we already know what the issue is, but lots of times you just pull into a service drive. I mean, like I got to take my car, matter of fact, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you where I take my car, they all have horrible body language. Like they walk up and go, "Hi, what's your name?"
Right.
Like, there's no like, "Hey, how you doing?"
Right,
welcome.
Right.
What's your name? You know,
exactly.
Simple stuff.
Exactly. And that's what we're talking about, Jake. We're talking about something that we control to be more efficient in our dealership with success. And we're talking about the importance of body language. You know, watching a salesperson deliver an offer, for example, when they have a customer that makes an offer, how do they deliver that up to the desk? How does the desk respond if they're visible to the customer? Sometimes they're not, but often they are. What does that interaction look like? I mean, I want the client to look, I want it to look like, well, it doesn't look like it. I'm invested in it. That's the bottom line. It's genuine. I don't have to create body language, but I am conscious of it. But it's because I'm genuinely after to make this work and I'm invested in it. Jake, talk about the importance of that body language that the customer's seeing.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you so much for repeating kind of what you guys were talking about. And I do think that is absolutely crucial in terms of having professionalism. And, you know, customers do kind of pay attention to, you know, not only how you say things, but, you know, how you interact with them in terms of your body language and being positive. You know, there's definitely plenty of statistics out there, I'm sure, but, you know, you see the top performing salespeople that, you know, have a higher closing percentage. They really have, you know, a very positive attitude. They're always upbeat. And, you know, they make sure when they take customers through a process, they TO when they need to, and the sales manager has to be on his toes and come out there, you know, and definitely be, you know, on his game, if that makes sense. And absolutely, if you're not every day, then you're missing opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know. I think we have a caller on the line.
Yeah, Steve Ressler here.
What's up, hey, Steve?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Steve?
A topic that's near and dear to my heart, so I had to call in, man.
Hey, I loved your comment, by the way, when you said the CRM should be as valuable as the Facebook, as their cell phone. I mean.
Yeah, and Steve, real quick, Steve. We know you're no stranger to the show, but just for our viewers, can you share where you're at and your position in the auto industry?
Yeah, I actually represent a CRM, DriveCentric. So, but, you know, I mean, I've used CRM for 25 years in various industries. And, you know, I know there was somebody that said on one of the pages over there that their CRM is the most valuable thing in their career. And that's the way I've always felt when I've used various, you know, ACT back in the day, Salesforce.com, there was Goldmine. I mean, in other industries, CRM is being utilized and valued in other industries. And the reason why it's valued is I don't have to, you know, like what we said, be inefficient to say, where are we at, Mr. Customer? Where did we leave it next? How many kids do you have? You know, are you Catholic? We have to know everything and all the notes about that customer. It's almost like when we go to a resort, I mean, and somebody gives me a Diet Coke because they know I've ordered Diet Coke all the time. That when somebody comes up to the service drive, why wouldn't we just go ahead and have that stuff in this, you know, CRM so we don't have to ask?
Those
are the valuable notes that I think we always want to do. I know it's the auto industry, but it's got to start with things like this. And then, you know, when we talk about body language, I mean, that's one of the things I'm really big about. 55% of how we communicate is body language. 38% is tone. So when we go out there and we send all these emails, you're only communicating at 7%. That is it.
Wow.
We need to just talk to the customer and humanize the car buying experience by leveraging. And somebody wrote in there about video. 100%. I know we talked about videos for years and years and years before I ever got into it. Why aren't we sending more videos? And especially somebody said Mark car buying experience for internet leads. It's 14 days, 80% of the time. The first person to engagement wins. We have 14 days to make a difference.
I have to tell you, thank you for coming on and making me feel old, because I actually know I remember Goldmine. So that I think that makes me old officially.
No, do you?
Hey, what year did that come out there, Chris?
Well, just so you know, it's legit. You know?
I must be young. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, see? There you go. That's how old I am.
That's great. Hey, Steve, really, thanks for calling in. We appreciate that. Great comments. We're going to go to final closing comments with each of our guests. So I'm going to kind of go back to the Subaru team, and we'll go with Anthony V. I wish we could all have more time, Anthony, but just give us your overall closing comments on today's subject, and then we'll make our way around to the other guests.
Appreciate you. Thank you for having us. I think energy is everything in the car buying process. I mean, what you're putting out to the customers is everything. One thing we don't know is how many times we're going to see these customers. And so for the first time, when they get to meet us, I think the energy that you put out is everything.
That's good.
That's a great point, Anthony, because energy kind of covers it all, from whether it's in your email, as much as you can put in there, to definitely the body language and when you actually speak with a customer, and through video, obviously. So let's go to Christopher Campbell. Christopher, wish I could have given you even more time. You had amazing comments already, but if we could get your closing remarks, that'd be great.
Well, thanks again, guys, for having me on today. You know, just to touch on like what you guys said with respect to body language, you know, establishing a culture, the fish stinks from the head down, as I was told years ago, that, you know, if leadership isn't providing that culture to the salespeople, you know, what reason do they have to succeed? And when you talk about body language, something as simple as how to communicate with people in person, you know, we're living in a digital age now, and you see a lot of people communicating through emails, which is, you know, is emotionless. And we all know that buying a car or selling a car to me is a transfer of emotion. Mm-hmm. If you're genuine in how you, you know, how you feel as a salesperson, that process is going to come through to the customer. Something as simple as keeping your hands out of your pockets when you talk to people. Mm-hmm. I know I've taught countless numbers of salespeople that when they first get on the floor, they cross their arms, they keep their hands in their pockets. Get them out, get your hands, make them visible, talk to a customer, engage them, look them in the face, you know, go beyond just interacting on the computer or texting. That's why video now is so important. You know, everybody's been making a big push for video, you know, sources like QuickPage or BombBomb, you know, make a video, make it personal to a customer, get that relationship established. And then with service, it's the same thing. You know, service has to change their culture as well. I realize that they're usually the bearers of bad news. Change that culture. You know, you're helping a customer keep their car on the road. You're helping the customer keep their warranty active. You know, the good news is you do have to do some repair to the car. And once it's done, you're going to have more miles of worry-free driving. It really is. It's culture does everything.
That's good.
Great, great content today, Chris. We appreciate you so much. Extremely valuable. We'll go to Subaru Steve.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about body language, and I just want to echo some of what Chris said real quickly. And the things that the customers see, such as the service writers, the sales agents, all the way to the desk, that's a two-way street. So if your customer's coming in and they're a little cautious and you're a little cautious, and then you go to the desk and they're a little cautious, that's what everybody sees. Everybody's in a yellow holding mode. But if you're going both directions as a sales agent, you go to your tower, your manager, and they're positive and they're pumping you up. You go back out to the customer, you're giving them good news, that's pumped up, then it's a win-win situation for both sides.
Totally agree.
Yeah, that's
good. Thank you for coming on today. Chris Hill, I'd like to go to you again and get your closing comments.
Yeah, to just reiterate on the CRM side of things, you honestly have to know it and live it every single day. It's where your opportunity exists, where it's won or lost, and when it comes to the sale. These opportunities should be categorized and listed correctly. Your internet, your website provider, your digital service marketing people need to be producing leads that are classified and sourced out correctly. So you have the opportunity, and if they're not doing that, you need to look at another vendor, Overtake, or anybody else that is producing daily leads for you that you guys can quantify and measure the success of. This is digital. It's not traditional anymore, where we didn't know if a mailer was working or if a radio spot or a TV spot or even a newspaper ad was working. We can source everything now. Don't put up with the old school thinking that we sent you more traffic, you should have gotten more leads. It can be sourced now. It can be proven, expected out of your vendors, and go look at what you're doing today.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you.
Jake, I'd like to get your closing comments. Thank you for coming on.
Okay, great. Yes, sir. Thank you so much for first and foremost for having me. And I mean, we've got a great, tremendous panel today. I echo a lot of what all they've said about things. But I know one of the Chris's earlier was mentioning, you know, how digital marketing has, you know, went a lot faster than changes have gone faster than the CRMs have. And I do echo that statement. And you know, think that we really need to be on our game determining, you know, where people are at in the funnel and meeting them in that spot. I'm not saying scrap what's worked for years by any means, but what I am saying is make sure we're meeting people where they're at in the process. And two, I do like the discussion, you know, on efficiency, because I think we can all get a little bit more efficient. And even if it's a, you know, 1-2% increase with as much traffic as a lot of us are seeing, you know, that can even be into the tens of car deals. So I do like that topic. I think the CRM is absolutely crucial in terms of, you know, making sure we maximize that and, you know, just continuing to be energetic, have good body language. You know, I think that if you give a world-class experience and build value, the fact that the cars are going up in price with the tariffs and all the stuff like I talked about at the beginning doesn't matter as much. And, you know, the good news is we're already used to that. So in Toyota's being a little more expensive. So just kind of build value, be energetic, and provide a world-class buying experience. And, you know, have a team that takes care of the little details of the CRM, and, you know, you'll be successful with a good culture. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
Hey, David,
I'm still on. I got something to add if I can.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, hey, so we're talking about body language, and I'm going to tell you one of the things we did way back when. I mean, again, I'm dating myself, but if you ever want to just have your salespeople train on reading body language at the dealership, play poker. Poker is one of the things that I think, as I started when the poker boom was going on, you focus more on the body language of what the, you know, what your peers were doing if you play poker. And then it also teaches you to shut up because you're playing poker.
The cards are just for show.
Yeah, well, the good news is, Steve, I'm pretty sure if we took a poll, almost every employee would be down for that kind of training.
I get it every Wednesday night.
right.
So thanks, guys, for coming on. We appreciate you.
Hey, and before y'all go, no I wanted problem, to say man. Something Take as care, well guys. In regards to the body language. What you were just talking about, was that Chris or was that Christopher Campbell?
That was Steve Campbell? Wrestler. Steve.
Hey, I wrote down on my paper about mirroring, and it's one of the first things that I was taught when I worked at Brandon Ford when I sold cars, and it's probably one of the top five most valuable pieces of information or advice that one of my managers ever gave me, and not because it tricked the person into buying a car, but because it made me conscious about how my body language was being portrayed to the customer. Like if they put their hands on the table, I would kind of put my hands on the table a little bit. Or if they were leaning into the conversation, I'd lean in a little bit. Or if they lean back, I lean back. But it wasn't magic. It didn't hallucinate them into buying a car. But it makes you conscious on what you're doing, and it really stopped you from acting like a lazy salesperson or from putting a bad look on your face or having a bad attitude because you're so focused on mimicking the customer to where you're able to kind of sell them in a way that they were already opening the door for you to sell them in.
Oh, I think that last line that you just used was describes it.
Yep.
So, hey, what a great show. I want to thank all of our guests, Jake Davis, Chris Hill, Subaru, Steve, Chris Campbell, and Anthony V. Make sure that you check out. In fact, I'll ask Subaru Steve and Anthony V to maybe put a link in here in the comments section to their podcast. Make sure you check them out. And what a great show. We're going to give away some things right now. Gentlemen, thanks for being on the show today. All right, here we go. We're going to give away.
Give it away now.
So this one first is a Game Changer T-shirt. Uh-oh. These were literally hot off the presses last week. I don't even have one yet.
Me neither. Ooh, me
Game
neither.
T-shirt. So the winner is. If I can stop my coughing, I'll be all right. Throw it in.
Yeah, you got to throw it over here. It's tradition.
I don't know if I'm that.
Oh, that's
great.
Right. You're not used to throwing.
Here's the mail.
Yeah.
You're used to catching it.
And you're not.
And I threw it perfectly.
That was a cover up.
I think that person gets disqualified because you can't throw.
That was right in the bread basket.
That's a big bread basket. That's a big bread basket.
All right. Let's go. You got it?
I got it.
Read that name out, man.
Hold on.
We got to roll. There's still more.
Hold on. I'm getting it. The winner is Karen Ann.
Karen Ann.
Congratulations.
Game Changer T-shirt.
Game Changer.
All right. The next one is the Auto Dealer Live long sleeve shirt. Woo!
That's the hot one right there. That's the hot one.
That's the hot one. It is hot if you're in Florida and it's 90 and you're wearing long sleeves. So that's the hot one. All right. There we go. Perfect. Oh! Intercepted.
Robbed. He snagged it from me.
Robbed.
Oh, I don't want it now.
I don't want to read. I don't even know how to read.
Let's go, guys.
Jerk face. He totally snagged it from me. All right, let's see. Who is this? This is Tony Lake.
Tony Lake, you got the long sleeve.
Enjoy
Auto
it.
Dealer Live shirt. And let's go with the last one. This is the Lead or Be Lunch hat.
Woo!
This was really cool. This is the shark one. It's got, not only does it have David Villa's autograph, which, by the way, we didn't even mention yet. He wasn't on the show today, but Dave was getting some deals done. And we filled in for him. He'll be back next week.
That's the one to wear during Shark Week.
But
that's
the autograph is actually monogrammed into the hat, which is super cool.
That's limited edition too.
And it's limited edition, and it's also green, which is just super cool.
Right.
It'll match your Sharpie.
And you can wear it on St. Patrick's Day.
They get the socks with it?
They get the socks?
Dang.
Stop it.
There's
Are you kidding me?
There's the package.
This
baby.
Is insanity. All
right, here we go.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
You are freaking kidding me.
It was right in the bread basket.
Right. Oh. So close. Oh, wow. Yeah, that one was a drooper. That was a drooper. That was a drooper.
Laid it on your side, so you got to get it.
Wow.
You're a jerk face. I just want to say that.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's see.
Hey, don't lock your knees. You're going to pass out.
The winner is Sandy Iriptus. What?
I'll bet it's Zanino.
That's it.
Congratulations, Sandy.
You got the package. You're the winner. Hey, let's thank everyone on the show today. Our special guest in studio, co-host today, Mr. Billy Honaker, tearing it up.
Thank you all.
In sales, hey.
Chris Fritcher, Joe Calla, who had to break out. We've got our producer, Lou Torres. I'm Dave Cribbs. We'll see you next week with Mr. David Villa back on Auto Dealer Live.
That's right.